you've heard this story. And I ask my dad, and I say, "Dad, what are hors d'oeuvres?" He looks at me and goes, "You mean hors d'oeuvres, you idiot?" So I'm not very good with pronouncing things and all that kind of stuff. So Tavi, I've already forgotten how I pronounce that already. But anyways, it'll be blessed to have that missionary with us. I feel like I should kind of be preaching like this evening, because I got to move the pulpit over here with all the people on the right. But thank you for being here. Brother Daly already prayed for a blessing and forgiveness, since I'm from the East Coast, so that was funny. But Psalm 37, it's good to be in church tonight, and thankful for the goodness of the Lord. Appreciate you being here this evening. And we're going to start in Psalm 37, and verse number 1, the Bible says this. The Bible says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass." Let's pray. Father, thank you for this night, Lord. Thank you for an opportunity to be in church. Thank you, Lord, that we have a reason to be here this evening. And Lord, we have the truth of your word. We have a living, risen Savior. We serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I thank you for that. Father, Lord, so many different religions all across the world today or sometime this week met and had their religious ritual things that they do, and God, it didn't mean anything because they didn't serve the true God. But Lord, we have the real thing tonight, and I thank you very much for that. I thank you for the blood of Christ that cleanses us, and I plead that blood right now, Father, and ask that you please cleanse me of sin, self, and pride, and Lord, get me out of the way right now, that Lord, I would not hinder what you want to do tonight. Father, I pray that you would bless this message. I pray, Father, that it means something to the people gathered here tonight. And Lord, they don't need to hear from Aaron Riddle, but they need to hear from the Lord. And so God, as I preach, I pray that you'd hide me behind the cross, that Christ would be high and lifted up. And Lord, as I speak the words I believe you've given me, that Lord, you would go up and down the aisles. And Father, touch the hearts of the people here. And Lord, I just want to be an encouragement and a help tonight, and I pray that would be the case. And Lord, if that's going to happen, it's going to happen because you do the work. And so Lord, I've prayed and studied and tried to prepare myself, but Lord, I'm relying on you that faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. And so Father, I'm trusting that you're going to use me beyond myself this evening, that Lord, it's going to be not my work, but your work that's done, and I just need your help very much. So Father, please, help me right now. Let every single word that comes out of my mouth be from you, and Lord, help it come with the power and authority that comes from you in your word. So Father, help me preach as a dying man to dying men, and Lord, I'll be sure to give you the praise and glory and honor, because you're the one that deserves it, and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I love this passage, Psalm 37, verses 1 through 7. We're kind of going to focus tonight on verses 3 through 7. But it's just been something that's kind of been an encouragement and a blessing to me over the years, and just even as I've been studying for the message this evening. And so I don't really have anything crazy or spectacular tonight. This might be kind of one of those things, as Pastor said this morning, maybe one of those boring things or boring messages of stuff you may have heard or know. I don't, as far as I know, have anything that's going to wow anybody or be like, "Wow, I've never seen that before." But just maybe some basic truths just to be an encouragement tonight. Just to maybe be a help, just to maybe give you a shot in the arm, just some things to kind of get your eyes on the Lord, and maybe you can just be a help. That's just my goal tonight. The title of the message this evening is just simply, "What to Do with the Lord." What to do with the Lord, as we get here to Psalm 37, verses 3 through 7, some things that we should do in and unto the Lord. And I have these things underlined in my Bible that just a good reminder of just things that are going to help in our lives. Things that are going to make a difference, things that will help us. And I'm thankful for the Word of God tonight that does help us, amen. that we can come to it, and it doesn't always have to be some amazing thing, but just simple truths, simple things God has given us that, hey, when I'm reading my Bible in the morning, I can read and get an encouragement from it. It can help me through the day or help me through the week and all those types of things. And so that's just my goal tonight, is just to hopefully maybe try to be an encouragement and focus on some of these things. And we're just going to kind of jump right into it this evening. But I'm going to give you four things that we should do in our lives with the Lord tonight. Four things that we should do in our lives. We're going to find these in these verses here. And just jumping right into it this evening, number one, can I say one thing that we should do in our life is to trust the Lord.
Amen.
Trust in the Lord. Verse number three, the Bible says, trust in the Lord and do good. The Bible tells us, the Lord tells us to trust in Him. And really, it's actually mentioned twice in this passage. Down in verse number five, the Bible says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him. And so we see it's the first thing that the Lord tells us to do. David says in this psalm is to trust in the Lord, but it's also mentioned twice. And I believe part of that is because of the importance in your life in trusting in the Lord.
Amen.
I'd like to say that one of the most important things in your life that you can do is trust in the Lord. One of the things that's going to help you most in your Christianity is trusting in the Lord. And that trusting is simply just believing and obeying and putting confidence in what God has said. And like I said, praise the Lord for His word that we can trust in. Right? We don't have to live this life and just kind of wander around and what should I do or what should I act or what's God going to do for me or all those. But we have a word that's been given to us that we can trust in this evening. And I want to encourage you to trust in the Lord. Right? If God says it, believe it.
Amen.
Obey it. Put your confidence in it. Rely on it. Do what it says. Trust in the Lord. And one of the main reasons why we should trust in the Lord is because it affects your entire Christian life. Your trust in the Lord is going to affect your Christian life. We even see here in verse 3, it says, trust in the Lord and do good. Right? If you're trusting in the Lord this evening, you're going to be doing some good. Why? Because you're going to be obeying and following what God has told you to do. You know why I believe you're probably here tonight is because you're trusting in the Lord that God's going to give you something from His word. Or you're trusting in the Lord that God wants you to be here in church, and so He's going to bless you for doing what He wants you to do. It's important to trust God. If we don't trust God, we're not going to live like a Christian. If I don't trust God, I'm not going to spend time in His word every day. Why? Because I don't think it's going to be worth it. You know why people don't do it? Because they don't really trust when it comes down to it that it's worth it to be in their Bible. You know, sometimes I struggle going to the store and maybe passing out a tract or telling someone about Jesus because I don't really trust the Lord that God's going to use it in that person's life. Man, people that maybe don't come to church because they don't really trust that it's worth it to be in church and that God's going to do something there. It all comes down to our trust in the Lord. And the Bible makes it very clear, and God tells us, and like I said, even twice in this passage, trust in the Lord. Believe, have your confidence in, obey it because it is going to affect your Christian life.
Amen.
And I believe one of the first things that we should learn to do as a Christian is trust in the Lord. That, hey, if God says it, I'm going to follow it, I'm going to believe it, I'm going to obey it because God knows what He's talking about, amen?
Amen.
Because God's word is true. And like I said, this isn't anything crazy or like, wow, I never thought of it before. A simple truth is God wants you to trust Him. God wants you to trust Him. Keep your spot here, but go to Psalm chapter 115. Psalm chapter 115. Psalm chapter 115. And in verse number 9, Psalm 115 and verse number 9, the Bible says this. God says, O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Folks, God's saying, hey, you know what, nation of Israel, trust in the Lord. You know why? Because He's your help and your shield. Hey, house of Aaron, I could take this as kind of a life verse for me, amen? It's kind of cool. It just says, a house of Aaron. But trust in the Lord. You know why? Because He is their help and their shield. And then He says, hey, you know what? All ye that fear the Lord. Well, if you fear the Lord tonight, if you're trying to live for God and do what's right, you know what you need to do? Trust in the Lord. Why? Because He is your help and shield.
Amen.
And God says, hey, rely on me, depend on me, follow me, because I am your help and your shield. I'm going to be there for you. I'm going to take care of you, but you need to trust in me. You need to obey me. You need to believe me. You need to put confidence in me. And we need to trust the Lord even though it's hard sometimes. Because sometimes it is hard to trust the Lord. Right? It's a lot easier to say we trust in the Lord than actually when we're going through these situations that are hard or are difficult, or we're trying to make decisions and make plans and we don't really see the picture, or we don't see it how God seems to be seeing. It can be hard to follow God at times. But that's why the Bible says in Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. And that's what gets us in trouble a lot, is our own understanding. You know why it's hard for you to trust the Lord? Because of your understanding. You know why it's hard for me to trust in the Lord? Because of my understanding. Because God's ways are higher than our ways, and God's thoughts are not our thoughts. And we look at a situation, we say, well, this makes no sense of why I should be doing this or not doing this, or why God would allow this in my life, or why hasn't God put this thing into my life? And we're looking at it and saying, God, this doesn't seem right because of our understanding. But you know what I found in my life? That God knows what he's doing, amen. That God knows what he's doing a lot more than I know what I'm doing. And so you know what we need to do? Get past our understanding, put away those things, and acknowledge him and trust in the Lord and not lean to us. Say, okay, God, I have no clue what's going on here. I don't fully understand. And I've been there, and you've been there. But you know what, Lord? I know what your word says, and I'm going to trust in you. Amen. I'm going to trust in you. Go to Psalm 118. Psalm 118, if you're there still in Psalms 115, it should be right along the same place. But Psalm 118, in verse number 8, the Bible says this. It says, it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. And once again, not only do we lean to our understanding, but we put our confidence in men, right? We trust in men and in manly wisdom than we do the Lord. Right? We go to the world's wisdom and to all the things that the world has to offer. We go to our friends. We go to our family members. We go to this person or that person. A lot of times what we mostly do is go to ourselves. Better to put confidence in men. You know what that men includes? It includes you. You know, the biggest problem we have is we have too much confidence in ourselves. I'm not talking about always being fearful or insecure or whatever, but I mean when it comes to directions or life or what we should do, we put confidence in ourselves instead of the Lord. And we say, well, maybe God wants me to do that, but I know what I'm doing, right? I have my plan, I have my ways, I have my things. And God says, hey, it's better to trust in me than to put confidence in yourself, amen. That when it comes to what God wants and what you want, and God's way and your way, and God's thoughts and your thoughts, and your understanding and God's understanding, say, I'm going to follow God. Because he knows what he's doing. And can I say that when we trust God, he will take care of us, amen? Amen. When we trust God, he will take care of us. Psalm 37 in verse number 3, the Bible says, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. And yes, of course, he's talking here to the Israelites, and there's the dispensational aspect of all these types of things. But the point being is, I don't think that negates the fact and the truth of God's word that he does take care of us when we trust in him, amen. If you look in Psalm 37, the same chapter, verse number 25, David says, I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. David says, hey, I've lived a while in this life. I've done some things. I've seen some things. And you know what I've never seen? God forsaking those that trust in him. Amen. God forsaking those that live for him. God forsaking those that do right. And I've not lived very long on this earth, but you know what? I've never seen God forsaking somebody that's trusted in him. Amen. I've never seen somebody say, man, I wish I wouldn't have trusted in God because things just did not turn out good. No, I see people say, hey, I trusted the Lord, I followed God, and man, everything looked bleak and dreary, and God came through in a way that was amazing. And God took care of me. And praise the Lord for that. In Philippians 4:19, the Bible says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Amen. When you trust in God, he will take care of you. And I'm just trying to encourage you this evening to trust in the Lord. To trust in the Lord. I know that's something we know and we hear, but maybe just an encouragement one more time this evening, to trust in God, because he will take care of you. He will take care of you. Four things that we should do in our lives. Number one, trust in the Lord. But number two, delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. Verse number four, delight thyself also in the Lord. And delight means to have or to take great pleasure in. To have or to take great pleasure. And that's what God wants from us, is to take great pleasure in him. To have great pleasure in him and his ways and his wills. And actually, if you keep your spot here, but if you go to Genesis chapter 34 and verse number 19, this is the first mention in the Bible of delight. And this is the story of Jacob after he has all of his children. And trying to condense this story quickly, there's a man named Shechem. And he has an affinity for Jacob's daughter Dinah. And they do some stuff together. And Jacob's other sons find out about it. And they're not real fond of this guy messing around with their sister, so they kind of hatch this plan that you find as it goes along through this story, that they say, hey, we want to try to find a way to kill all these guys, so we're going to tell them if you circumcise yourselves that we'll give our daughters to you and we'll take your daughters. And like I said, it's a whole long big thing. Read the passage if you'd like to find out more in depth. But basically what's going on here is Shechem has this decision, right? From what he knows, Dinah's brothers say, hey, if you circumcise yourself, you can have our sister to wife. And look what the Bible says in verse number 19 of Genesis chapter 34. The Bible says this, it says, and the young man deferred not to do the thing because he had delight in Jacob's daughter and he was more honorable than all the house of his father. We see that Shechem had delight in Dinah. So even though he was said, hey, you got to circumcise yourself, and that's a very unpleasant thing for a man to do. That's not something that anybody would be like, woo, I get to circumcise. No, that's no bueno. We're going to Mexico. It's very no bueno. But what's the Bible say here? Because of Shechem's delight in Dinah, he deferred not to do the thing. I mean, he didn't think about it twice. He didn't have to consider it. He said, man, I delight in this young lady, and so I'll do this for her. He delighted in her. What is our attitude in that way towards the things of God? That God, even though some things may be difficult, some things may be hard, some things may be not exactly how I want them to be, God, I delight in you, so I'm not even going to think twice about it. I'm not going to waver about it. I'm not going to say, well, I'm going to do it because I love the Lord and I delight in him. I think of the story in Genesis 29 where Jacob is working for Rachel, or at least he thinks he's working for Rachel. And the Bible says in Genesis 29:20 that the 7 years' work were just as a few days to Jacob. You know why? Because of the love, it says, he had for Rachel. Because he delighted in Rachel. And so even though it was work, it wasn't some fun, joyful, he didn't care because he had a delight in Rachel. And once again, can I say, do we have an attitude of delight towards God? Amen. Do we have that same attitude towards the things of the Lord and serving God and our relationship with God? That, man, we don't care about the hardships. We don't care about the inconveniences or the... We delight in the Lord, so we enjoy coming to church. We enjoy reading our Bible. We enjoy passing out tracts. We enjoy serving the Lord because we delight in God. Amen. So many times it seems like the opposite thing, right? Every little minor inconvenience stops us from doing something for God. Well, I'm too tired, so I can't read my Bible today, or I'm too busy, so I can't make it to church, or I have too many other things going on, so I can't serve or pass out. And we make all these excuses of why we can't. But if we have a delight in the Lord, you know what we're going to do? We're going to find reason to do it. It's not going to be bothersome. It's not going to be burdensome. And I understand as people and in our flesh, sometimes it's hard. And sometimes it's difficult. But I think sometimes God gets tired of Christians. He said, hey, take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden's light. He said, I've come that you may have joy and that your joy may be full. Amen. But yet Christians walk around like it's the most terrible thing in the world to live for God. We come to church and act like, oh, well, I got to be here and I had to wake up early and it's church time and we're miserable during the song service and during the preaching and all that kind of stuff and wake up and, well, I got to read my Bible today and I got to do that. Where's the joy? Where's the delight? Where's the fact I get to do this for the Lord? I have a great Savior and a great Father and a great King that I get to live for. Delighting in the Lord. Can I ask you, do you delight in His Word? Delight in His Word. Psalm 1:2 talking about the blessed man, it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. It doesn't say that blessed man wakes up and goes, oh, well, it's another day. I better get my chapters in for today. Right, I better read my Bible so I can mark it off this list, or in case Pastor asks me, or Pastor Aaron in youth group or whatever. No, his delight is in God's word. He looks forward to what the word of God has to say.
Amen.
Hey, we can enjoy reading our Bibles, amen. And like I said, I'm just like anybody else, okay? I wake up in the morning and I'm tired. I wake up and I'm distracted and all these other things. But what a great book that we have.
Amen.
What a great thing from the Lord that can help us and guide us and direct us and help and be there for us. Do we delight in it? Do we say, I get to read the Bible, right? Even if I'm a little tired, if I'm a little busy, man, I want to say, because I want to hear what God has to say to me. Delighting in the Lord. Do you delight in his word? Do you delight in his way? In Psalm 37:23, the Bible says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Right? His way is directed by, and he delights in the way that God has for him. Are you delighting in the way that God has for you today? And the path that you're on, and look, I understand, sometimes it can be very easy to lighten your way because God's just blessing you and things are going, and sometimes it's harder to lighten your way because it's maybe not exactly what you wish it would be. But do you still understand it's God's way?
Amen.
And the Bible says that as for God, his way is perfect.
Amen.
And that he it is that maketh my way perfect. And that we can still delight in that way and say, okay, God, maybe I don't understand everything. Maybe I don't fully get everything. Maybe I wish some things, but this is the way you have for me, so I'm going to delight in it.
Amen.
Right? I'm going to be happy that, hey, you know what's best, and I can trust in you, and you got things taken care of, so maybe it's hard, but I'm going to delight in this way that you have for me.
Amen.
Do you delight in his way? Do you delight in his will? In his will, in Psalm 40, in verse number 8, David said, I delight to do thy will, O Lord. In God's will for your life, do you delight in it? The things God wants you to do. The place God has you, the service God has for you, right? When you're out at the store and God says, hey, give a tract to that person. Do you delight in that? Do I delight in that? A lot of times I'm ashamed to say, not really. I'm like, how about this and this and that? But do we delight in getting to serve God? Man, if God calls you to some ministry or some certain, do you delight in that? When God has your thing for tomorrow and throughout Monday and Tuesday, the will God has for your life, the things God puts on your heart, the things that God's word tells you, do you delight in it?
Yeah.
David said, I delight to do thy will, O Lord. Right? Those things that you tell me to do, I'm happy that I get to serve you. I'm happy I get to, because your way is best. Because you know better than I do. Do you delight in his word? You delight in his way. Do you delight in his will? And can I tell you that God blesses us when we delight in him? God blesses us when we delight in him. When it's not just a drudgery, when it's not just doing it because I have to, when it's all the, but we delight in it. In Psalm 37 in verse number 4, the Bible says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. God's good to those that delight in him. And once again, I understand the dispensational thing, and this is to the Jews, but sometimes I don't want to dispensationalize God's blessings out of our life just because this is in Psalms. Because you look in the Bible, and as I look at my life, you know what I find? God's good to those that live for him.
Amen.
In Lamentations 3, verse number 25, the Bible says, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. God's been good in my life. Right, I've made a lot of mistakes, I've messed up a lot, but one thing I've tried to do my best is delight in the Lord, and God's blessed me. Right, I count it a blessing to be out here and be the associate pastor of Faith Baptist Church. And that was the Lord. I'm from Pennsylvania, right? Brother Daly said, you know, bless those even though they came from the East Coast. I never would have thought in a million years I'd come out to Washington. But God worked it out, and God's been good, and I thank God for it. He is good. Go to Psalm 145. Psalm 145. Psalm 145. Psalm 145 and verse number 15. The Bible says this. It says, the eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also, will hear their cry and will save them.
Amen.
We serve a good God.
Yes, we
I'm afraid sometimes in Christianity we get this attitude like God's just in heaven trying to take away all our fun and take away all our joy and take away all our desires and he could care less. And look, God is more concerned about his things than your things, right? He cares more about his will than your will and his desire. And that doesn't mean that every single thing we want, God's going to give us. But he does bless us. He does care about us. He does know you more than anybody else. And he does give us our desires. He does bless us. Go to Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse number 24. Proverbs 10 and verse number 24. The Bible says this. The Bible says, the fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him, but the desire of the righteous shall be granted. Once again, you live for God. God's going to bless you for it. He's going to give you some of your desires. Go to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 14. The Bible says this, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. And so now I think a little bit more context in this, right? And I think God's saying, hey, every little desire you have, just because you're living for me, I'm going to give it to you, right? You're going to have $1 million and a brand new vehicle and a brand new house and this thing and that thing and all that kind of stuff. But what's it say here? If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And we know that if he hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. And I want to go back to that again. God blesses us and gives us our desires. What? When we delight in him. When our life is more about his desires and his wants, not our desires and our wants.
That's good.
And sometimes that's what we get mixed up in. Right, we have our things and our desires and what we want, and we get that kind of mixed up. Well, this is what I want, so God has, well, God, delight yourself in me. Right? Have the same desires as me. Follow after me. And then you know what I find? That when we delight in the Lord, our desires start to become his desires. That it doesn't come from a fleshly, prideful, selfish, fleshly thing. It comes from the Lord. And wanting to please God. I believe kind of an example of this. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse number 7, Paul speaking, a familiar passage of Scripture. The Bible says, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. So we see Paul has this desire, right? Because he has this thorn in the flesh, right? And his desire, what he wants is, hey, God, would you take this thorn from me? Would you remove this thing? And we don't see God gives him that desire, right? Because 3 times he asks. You know what God's answer is? My grace is sufficient for thee. He says, no, Paul, even though that's your desire right now, I'm not doing that for you because it's better for you to have that. But you know what we find? Paul loved the Lord. Yeah. Paul delighted in God. And all of a sudden, Paul starts to say in verse number 9, most gladly, therefore, why rather glory in mine infirmities. You know what happened? Paul's desires started to change. And he started to say, hey, you know what's more important to me than my desire to remove this thorn of the flesh? It's my desire to glorify God. It's my desire to have the power of God. It's my desire to be used of God. And I understand this thing that at first I didn't desire in my life, God is using. So you know what? I'm going to take pleasure in these things. I'm going to glory in these things. And that's what I find in our lives. Yes, sometimes we have these desires that we pray for and ask God. But you know what you do when you start to get close to God and delight yourself? You'll find God starting to change your heart. For maybe that thing that you used to desire and used to want, God says, nope, this isn't my will for it. Here's, and you say, oh, well, you know what, God, I know your way is best, so I'm going to desire and want what you want because I've seen it's better for me in my life. I brought that up the other Sunday night about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, how praying at first, Lord, if it be thy will, remove my cup, this cup for me, right? That was his desire. He said, but yet not thy will, but mine be done. But he keeps going back to pray. You know what you find? The more he goes back to pray, his prayer isn't anymore, Lord, remove this cup. It's Lord, that thy will be done. Give me the strength for thy will.
Amen.
Because when you delight yourself in the Lord, guess what? Your desires start to become his desires. And so, yeah, you may have some desires this evening. And praise the Lord. There's nothing wrong with having desires or wants or dreams or plans or goals. But are you delighting in the Lord tonight? Are you delighting in God tonight? Are those desires God's desires that he's put in your life, or are those your desires? But you know what? Can I say God will bless and God is good to those that delight in him. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. So four things that we should do in our lives. Number one, trust in the Lord. Number two, we should delight ourselves in the Lord. But then number three, I like to say we should commit our way to the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. Verse number five, back in Psalm 37, the Bible says this. It says, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him. Commit your way to the Lord. Commit means to put into the hands or power of another. Commit means to put in the hands or power of another. In a way, I like to say it is basically to get all in, right? You're giving it to somebody. You're putting everything in their hands. So when we commit ourselves to God, you know what we're doing? Committing our way, we're giving it to the Lord. We're putting it all in his hands, all in his way, and we're taking our hands off and saying, okay, God, it's yours. I believe kind of an example of that, go to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Y'all doing good tonight? Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 18. Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 18, the Bible says this. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw two other brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed them. Followed him. You know what I see here? I see some men who committed their way unto the Lord. Right? They're doing their thing. They're working their jobs. They're fishing in their boats. And all of a sudden, Jesus comes along and says, hey, follow me. You know what they do? Immediately leave their nets and start following God.
Amen.
I mean, that was their livelihood. That was their jobs. That was their lives. That was their family. But you know what? They committed their way into the Lord Jesus Christ and started following him, saying, okay, God, we're all in with you. I mean, could you imagine tomorrow you're sitting there at your desk at your job or in your place in your job, and all of a sudden Jesus Christ comes in and says, hey, follow me, leave everything and let's go. I mean, could you imagine just like dropping everything and just leaving? Well, that's what these men did, because they committed their way unto the Lord. Can I say, Christian, some of us need to commit our way to the Lord, amen?
Amen.
Some of us need to get all in.
Amen.
Some of these need to get our sticky fingers off the things in our lives and say, okay, God, it's yours. I'm giving it to you. Here it is. God, I'm committing my way unto you. Yeah, I have my plans and my dreams and my thoughts and my desire, but God, I'm giving it to you. Here it is, so you can do with it whatever you want, because I'm committing my way to you.
Amen.
And can I say this evening that committing has action involved with it. Committing has action involved with it. I mean, you even think of some of the Ten Commandments, Jesus speaking says, thou shalt commit no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, right? It's an action thing. But even if you turn to Acts chapter 27, Acts chapter 27, this is the story of when Paul is a prisoner with the Roman centurion. They get on the boat, and Paul warns them about it, but they do it anyways, and they get caught in a storm, and things are going pretty bad, and finally they find some land, are trying to get to the land. And Acts chapter 27 and verse number 39, Acts chapter 27. In verse number 39, the Bible says, and when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore, into the which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves into the sea and loosed the rudder bands and hoised up the mainsail to the wind and made toward shore. Right, so they're in this storm, this thing's going on, all of a sudden they see this land, and they're fighting, they're trying to get there, but they're just not making any headway. They're just stuck. And you know what we find that they do? They committed themselves into the sea. Meaning they put up their anchors, they put up their sail, they loosed the rudder, and said, okay, we're just going to let the sea take us into the land, right? They see this spot, they said, we're just going to trust the sea's going to take us there. They took it out of their hands, and in a sense put it into God's hands, put it into the sea's hands. They committed themselves to the sea. Hey, can I say some of y'all tonight need to commit your way into the Lord and commit you to the sea of God's will and put up your anchors and put up your sails and loose your rubber and say, okay, God, I'm going to follow you, right? I've fought, I've battled, I've tried to do my thing, my way, my actions, and you know what, God, I'm committing my way to the sea. I'm going to follow you. But the problem is a lot of times we like to kind of have a foot in both, right? Like, oh, yeah, God, I'm committing my way to you, and I'm going to follow you, and it's your will. But then we also want to be like, but God, I'm over here, right? I need my security. Because, I'm not a sailor by any way, shape, or form. But, you're out in the ocean, and there's a storm, or there's, a current, all this type of stuff. Like, I don't want to just be like, oh, yeah, let's just take the current where it takes us, right? That's dangerous. People die that way. You know what? I want to have the sails. I want to have the anchors. I want to have the rudders so I can steer. Like, it's kind of common sense. But that is, hey, commit to the sea. Hey, and man's ways, when God tells you to do some stuff sometimes, you know what we like to do? Well, okay, I'll kind of follow you, God. Like, I'll go in that direction, but I want to have a hand on the rudder. Right? I want to still keep the sails down a little bit. I want to be able to do the anchor, so if we're going too fast or we go a direction I don't like, I can kind of jump. And God says, nope, you know what you need to do? You need to commit your way to me.
Amen.
And you get all into me. And Christian, like I said, your commitment can't just be in words. It has to be in action.
Amen.
It has to be you doing some things to commit your way to God. Because many times we like to do that, right? We'll come in, well, God, once we get rid of this thing, so I'm committing my way to him, and we'll come in order, or we'll sit and make this decision in church of, okay, God, I'm committing my way to you, and then we'll go out, and we don't get rid of it. We don't do anything about it. Okay, God, you want me to do this, and God, you've laid on my heart to do this, and I'm committing my way to that, and Lord, and then we go out and we don't do anything about it. We don't give ourselves to God. We don't say, okay, God, I'm commit. Do something about it. Amen. Get all in. If you go to Romans chapter 12, in verse number 1, the Bible says this, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
Amen.
A very popular verse, but you know what that is? Committing is denying yourself and obeying God.
That's right.
A sacrifice dies.
Yep.
Right? He says, hey, it's not just that. Yourselves, your bodies, put yourself on the altar and say, God, here's my life. I'm putting to death my will, my ways, and God, it's yours. In the Old Testament, when they sacrificed that lamb or ram or bull, or they couldn't go, okay, I'm going to do it. It was burnt. Right? It was God's. But many times we want to crawl on the altar, and then we want to kind of crawl off the altar. That's not how it works. When you give yourself to God, it's okay, God, here it is. It's an offering unto you. I'm going to obey you. I'm going to deny myself. I'm going to follow you. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 12. The Bible says this, Paul speaking to Timothy, he says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation and charity and spirit and faith and purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear unto all. Paul says to Timothy, give yourself wholly to them. Right? To these things you're supposed to be an example on, to these things I'm telling you to give attendance to this gift. Give yourself wholly. Let it be what drives you. Let it be what you focus on. Let it be what you live for, is these things of God. If you're going to commit your way to God, you know, you need to give yourself wholly to those things. That doesn't mean you can't ever do anything else other than read your Bible or pray or come to church or something spiritual. But it means the things of God are your focus. The things of God are what drives you and what you go after and what you want, because you're committing wholly unto them. Hey, if you have that choice between what God is telling you to focus on or what your flesh wants, I'm following God because I'm committing my way wholly to them. Can I encourage you, Christian, commit your way into the Lord tonight? Maybe some of you tonight need to do that. Like I said, you've been fighting the current, and maybe you just need to simply lift up the anchors, lift up the sail, loose the rudder, and say, okay, God, I'm following the sea. I'm committing my way to you. I'm going to do what you want me to do. I'm done fighting it. And so four things that we should do in our lives. Number one, trust in the Lord. Number two, delight yourself in the Lord. Number three, commit your way to the Lord. And then lastly tonight, rest in the Lord.
Amen.
Rest in the Lord. Verse number 7 of Psalm 37, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Rest in the Lord. And I believe that simply means tonight is be content and be patient in God's will.
Amen.
In the place he has you and what you're going through and what you're facing and what you're doing, learn to be content, learn to be patient, and learn to rest in the Lord. Some of the best advice I've ever been given, I'm very thankful for Pastor for this, is when I was praying about coming out here, and of course that's a huge decision, right? It affects my church, it affects this church. I've never been out to Washington. In my mind, they're all crazy Fruit Loops out here and all that kind of stuff, and all that, you know, what's going on out there? And it's a big deal. There's a lot of, and I was talking to Pastor one day, and you know what he told me? He said, rest in the Lord. God will take care of you. Learn to rest in him. Get your hands off it. Quit trying to finagle. Give it to God. Commit your and rest in him.
Amen.
Rest in him. And I believe resting has a part in all three of these things we've talked to. If you're going to rest in God, you know what you need to trust in God. You're not going to rest at all if you're not trusting in the Lord. You're going to be all scared and nervous and anxious. And what about that? Trust in the Lord. Understand that God's got it. You know what you need to do? Delight yourself in the Lord. When you're resting, hey, I can be fine here, even though things may be how I wish they weren't. And I know that feeling. But God has me here, and he has a plan for that. And I love the Lord and God, so I'm going to delight in that. And that means I can rest. Hey, tonight, I'm going to rest because I delight being in my bed, amen. My bed's comfortable. It's enjoyable. This afternoon, I was delighting taking a nap on the couch up in the office because I was tired and it was comfortable. There's a delight in those things. And committing your way into the Lord. You know why many of us don't like to rest? Because we don't want to commit our way to God. Because we're too worried about, if I take my hands off it, if I'm not worrying about it, if I'm not thinking about it, then something bad's going to happen. And the reality is we think God won't take care of it. And we can mask that in any way, shape, or form that we want, but that really is what comes down to it, that we aren't willing to give it to God. And that steals our rest. That steals our peace. Learn to rest in God. And can I tell you, it takes some learning, but God can help you be content in any situation you are in.
Amen.
Go to Philippians chapter 4. This will be the last place we turn to tonight. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4 and verse number 9. Paul speaking says this, he says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased. I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me.
Amen.
You know what Paul says? I've learned to be content. You know what we need to understand in our life? It takes learning at times to be content.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't just come just like that. All of a sudden, well, I prayed one day that God help me be content, and so all of a sudden I'm going to be content. It's a process. Going back to school, yeah, maybe there were some things that we could pick up quick and learn quick, and there were other things that it took a long time before it clicked in our minds of how it went and how to work it out and how to figure it out. And that's what the Lord does sometimes. Oh, man, I'm trying to be content. I'm just having a hard time. Yeah, God may be teaching you how to be content in your situation.
Amen.
Because you know, you got to learn to trust in God. That's a part of it. You got
to
learn that God knows what he's doing, that if you just simply follow him and obey him and do what he tells you to do, he's going to take care of you. That's something we have to learn, right? That doesn't come naturally. We have to learn to delight ourselves in him, because we're all selfish creatures and we all have our things and our wants and our desires and now us. And to change the us to God and pleasing him and delighting in him, that takes some learning and that takes some time. And then God says, okay, you've learned to trust in me. Okay, you've learned to delight in me. Now what you need to do, you need to learn to commit your way to me and to give your way to me and to get your hands off it and trust in God. And you know what we can learn to do? We can learn to be content in whatever situation we are in. Well, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know. And you're right, I don't. Okay, I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, yeah, well, just. But Paul went through some pretty terrible things, right? Shipwreck and beatings and prisons and strivings and all go through whatever that list is in his writings. He says all these. You know, he says, I've learned to be abased. I've learned to abound, to have, to need. But I've learned in any of it that I can still be content. That I can still have peace.
Amen.
That I can still have rest.
Amen.
That I don't need to walk around with anxiety and fear and what about this and what? I can rest. If you're getting rest, you're not laying in bed wide awake thinking about, you're asleep. You're knocked out. You're drooling on the pillow. You're, because you're at rest. And Paul said, hey, I've learned that I can be content in whatever. And you can be content in whatever you're going through. But maybe you need to learn. Maybe it takes some time, right? I thank God for things in my life that he's helped me learn to be content in. Now, yeah, there's still times where I struggle and times where it's hard. You know why? Because my trust starts to falter. And I start to get thinking of man's wisdom and, oh, this isn't. And I go, wait, no, trust in the Lord. And, okay. Or I start to delight in mine. And I want this. And then God's like, well, what about what I want? I'm like, okay, bring back the delight in the Lord. Oh, but God, what if I do this, right? What if I want this and I do that? And God's like, hey. Knock it off, dummy. Trust in me. Commit your way to me. I'm like, oh, okay. And you know what I found? Life's a whole lot more enjoyable when you can learn to rest.
Amen.
Life's a whole lot better when we're not hanging on to those things and full of the anxiety and fear and this. But there's a part that likes that, because we like having our hand upon and worrying about it. And God says, hey, rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. You know what? God gives peace. Verse number 9, he says, and the God of peace shall be with you. And verse number 13, God gives strength. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now, people love to, sports athletes love to put that on when they're playing football and their, you know, eye things. And people like, but really the context of what that verse is being content. You know, I don't hear people say very often, I can do all things because I got to be content in this bad situation I'm in. It's I can do all things to work this job and make millions of dollars or to score this touchdown or to play. And Paul said, you know what I've learned that I can do all things in is being content in my situation.
Good.
And as hard as it is for you, as difficult, as scary, you can do it in the power of Christ and the power of God.
Amen.
Because we can do all things through Christ with strength. I don't see how I could be content. I don't see how I... Learn to be content. Learn to trust God. Learn to delight in the Lord. Learn to commit your way to him. Then you'll find that, hey, even in this situation, I can be content. I can rest. I can have peace. Rest in the Lord. And can I just say in closing, don't let others ruin your rest. In verse number 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. If you have someone just come to the piano and play, please, appreciate that. But a lot of times what gets our rest taken away is because we start focusing on other people, right? Because they're prospering. Whether they're wicked people, whether they're saved people, Christians. Why do they have that? And why is God doing this for them? And God says, don't worry about them. Rest. Relax. Have some peace. The Bible says comparing themselves among themselves, they are not wise. And it doesn't matter what someone else has. It's not going to help you driving yourself crazy because you're focused on them. You know what's going to help you? Rest. And I've been on both sides of those things, right? Man, I've seen where I've rested in God and delighted in God and committed my way to the Lord, and then God's done some great things. Hey, coming out here is one of those things. I remember a time where I had trouble resting because I'm like, okay, God, you're telling me Old Bethel isn't where I'm going to spend the rest of my life, but I'm still here and I don't know what's going on and what's happening? I'm trying to serve you, but it's discouraging but I trusted in God. Then you're like, God, and one day Brother Sarah's like, hey, I'm going to be pastor. You want to come be my associate? I'm like, what? God worked it out way better than anything I could ever dreamed. Man, there was a time where I was like, maybe I'm going to go to evangelism. Maybe I'm going to do this. But God's like, nope, just rest. And then God opened the door. And man, I walked through. I'm like, praise the Lord. And there's things now where it's like, okay, God, like I'd like you to do some things. And I'd like to see some things happen. And it's not. But you know what I found? It's a whole lot better when I can just rest. And just say, okay, God, me worrying about it, me fighting it, me being all the, it doesn't help me. And you know what I found? In whatsoever situation I have learned to be content. And I'm still learning that, so I'm not saying I've completely got it figured out. But I'm saying rest is a whole lot better than worry or fear, so learn to give it to God.
Amen.
Learn to rest in the Lord. And so like I said, I just wanted to be an encouragement this evening. I'm not saying it's some amazing maybe thing, but it's good reminders to me. Because I want to rest. And can I encourage you this evening? Four things that we should do in our lives. Trust in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. Commit your way into the Lord. And rest in the Lord. And so as the piano plays, heads bowed, eyes closed. Don't really know if it's an invitational message, but if you want to do some business with the Lord, the altar's open, or do it in your seat, or whatever you have to do. But man, these things help. There's a reason they're in the Bible. There's a reason God has set them. And life is so much better than when we can rest. And so as the piano plays, you do some business with the Lord as God's worked on your heart. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, just want to thank you for tonight. Thank you, God, for just an opportunity to be here. Thank you for your word, Lord. And God, thank you for just passages like this we can find in Scripture just to remind us, God, to do these things. God, it's very easy to get off focus, to get off center, to just get distracted by the things of the world. But thank you, Lord, for just what that passage meant to my life. And God, I still have a lot to learn, and I'm still, Lord, growing, and Lord, still learning. And Father, with some of these things, it's not maybe just a one time, we just make this decision and everything, but it's a process. And God, we have to keep coming back and keep coming back to you and keep praying and keep focusing and meditating on these things. And I pray, God, Lord, that you help each person here tonight and any of those listening, Father, with these things. Lord, we're all going through different situations and circumstances and life and some of these young people growing up and making decisions and just the things they face, God, it's good for all of us. And so, Father, I pray that your word would be what sticks with these people, and not just this message from me, but, God, that you would help to hide these words in our hearts. And, God, even if it's just those four things, Father, that you would just ingrain those things into our mind as we're living our lives and going through day to day and month and year to year. Just remember, Lord, to trust and delight and to commit and to rest. Thank you very much for that rest, Father. And Lord, it's that peace that passes all understanding that, God, even in the midst of heartache and trial and tribulate, Lord, that we can just simply rest. And so I pray that it was a help to these folks tonight. I pray, Lord, that you would do the work and that, Lord, like I said, you would just help these things to stay with us. So pray you dismiss us with your blessing. I pray you give us a good rest this evening. And Father, we love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.